thought for today. I must encourage myself, or I will be discouraged. I must encourage myself, or else I will be discouraged. I must encourage myself, or else I'll be discouraged. Now, what in the world does that mean? What does it mean that I must encourage myself, or else I'll be discouraged? It doesn't seem to me like I would be discouraged. But all through life, we have beautiful experiences coming into our awareness. We have beautiful opportunities coming into our awareness. And Herbert and Pauli are going to go to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro in October. Mount Kilimanjaro is some 19,320 feet up. And these office workers, these boys who play around with their drugstore and their people and just have a good time, are going to be asked to do some pretty rugged climbing. Now, it's not that it's a long distance. 19,000, 20,000 feet is not a big deal. It's not even a mile. 5,680 feet is a mile. Now, well, I don't know how that compares to a kilometer, but it's whatever it is. So, but it's not even a mile. They're going to walk up, not even a mile. Or is it? How many times does 5,380 go into 19 or 20,000? About four times. So they're going to walk 4 miles, approximately. And when they walk 4 miles, what is that distance? It's about the distance from here to Campo, if you walk along the roads. And so that's no tremendous thing. But it is a tremendous thing when you're walking upward. And when you are walking upward and steadily rising in altitude from sea level, so to speak, to the 20,000 feet. And when you go up that high, the atmosphere gets thinner. And your body is used to breathing at sea level. You're used to breathing a lot of air and breathing it easily. It's a heavier air. And when you get up there, the air is lighter, it's thinner. And so you have to take in more air to get the same amount that you had down here. Or you have to train yourself to move on less air, on less oxygen. And to do that is quite a training. It's quite a training to train yourself to walk on the level here for 5 miles, or walk up a hill 5 miles, a mountain. Now, I must encourage myself or I will be discouraged. As I'm walking up this mountain, I say to myself, I know I can, I know I can, I know I can. The little train said, I think I can, but we say, I know I can. And as we walk up this mountain, we gently walk it up. Now, when athletes go to Denver, Colorado, 5,000 feet in the air, that's only 1 mile, they have to be there for at least a week to acclimate their body to that altitude from being at sea level. Or else they will not run a good race. They will be exhausted because they're not used to breathing oxygen at that altitude. And not breathing oxygen at that altitude, they have to train themselves. So when Herbert and Pauli climb this mountain, will they have trained themselves to stop at different levels? They're going to make the entire journey in a matter of days. They will not have time to be there. I think the base camps at Mount Kilimanjaro are something like 8,000 feet. Maybe 9,000 feet. And so you should be there for a period of time to acclimate. And while you're acclimating, you're breathing very heavy to get any kind of oxygen in your system. Now, if you take a bottle of oxygen along and you just walk up the mountain, it's no big deal. What's the hard thing about walking up the mountain? It's the breathing. It's the oxygen. Now, if you take a bottle of oxygen along, or several bottles, you'll be able to breathe quite normally and move quite easily right up the side of the mountain. Except that you are not accomplishing anything. I can go climb Mount Kilimanjaro better than you can. I will take my helicopter and I will go right up there and I will go about 5 feet from the top and I'll get out of my helicopter and walk up there and say, "Hello, I've done it." And then I will come back down the 5 feet and get into my helicopter and fly away. Now, isn't that thrilling? Isn't that wonderful? What's the purpose of climbing a mountain? What's the purpose of writing a book? What's the purpose of going dancing? What's the purpose of swimming in the Swimex? What's the purpose of being alive? Why bother? Why bother? Isn't it interesting how we take this body we have, and basically when we came to life, we had a good body. And then we misdirect the body's activities. We misdirect the body's activities through first our genes and our chromosomes and so forth. It's our choice. It's our choice. We don't have to be restricted by them, even though we're born into that family. A lot of children born into families with genes and chromosomes that were limiting were unlimited by them. They were not limited by the genes and chromosomes that they were born into. And a lot of people who were born into families of poverty, they became very wealthy. They were not limited by it. They were inspired by it to get out of it. A lot of people who were born into the world with a crippling activity to their body, a leg shorter than the other or whatever, what do? They encourage themselves. Now, Sam Houston is a man who encouraged himself. Sam Houston is a man of most remarkable traits. He's in his 90s now, I believe, and Sam was born with all the problems that you could possibly want. He had one leg shorter than the other with a stub. The other leg had a club foot. One hand was not there, it's a short stub on his wrist here, and so forth. And he's born to a poor farming family. And he had such a desire to be part of the family and do what the family did. He got out there, he made himself stubble along, he made a thing to fit under his leg so he could walk on it. And he wanted to earn as much money as the other guys did, but do it himself. So he went out to pick potatoes and to dig them out of the earth and to do the other chores on the farm and to earn some money. And he was paid a little bit because it was his parents' field. And then when he went to the neighbor's field, the neighbor said, "What can you do, you cripple?" And he says, "I'm not a cripple." He says, "I can do anything you want me to do." And so the farmer asked him to do certain things, and he did it. He said, "Boy, you got spunk, kid." And spunk he had. When he reached the age of 18, he decided to cut off that stump and put a prosthesis on there so that he could walk. Why he had to cut it off to do that, that's another story, but he did. And the doctor says, "Are you sure you want this?" And the boy says, "Yes, what do your parents think?" "They told me whatever I want, I can do." Then they did it. Now, today, at 90, plus, he teaches square dancing. He goes out to square dances all over the country and teaches them. He has owned several successful businesses. He has worked for people who said his integrity was faultless. His integrity as a man was unbelievably magnificent. He had integrity of honesty in dealing with people. He encouraged himself, "I can do it, I can do it." He motivated himself. He didn't want to be limited. many things would have limited him. His family background, his opportunities for success. He put himself through college. He worked to put himself through college. He encouraged himself. If he hadn't encouraged himself, he would have been discouraged. Now, what about you? Do you have some little thing that discourages you? Well, to you, it's not a little thing. Anything that can discourage you is not a little thing. Anything that can tear you down is not a little thing. You say to the girl, oh, you look terrible. Oh, you look crummy. Oh, you look miserable. You know what the girl decides to do? I am going to become a model. I'm going to become an actress. And she does. And she's successful. My wife used to chime at me when I was singing, and she'd say, Herb, your voice is terrible. Herb, your voice is terrible. And then I'd take her to the radio and I'd say, now listen to this. That's terrible. And they're being paid for that. And I'm better than that. And she'd say, well, that's true. You see, you have to believe in yourself. You have to encourage yourself, or else you're going to discourage yourself. It doesn't matter. I went on singing on the radio. I went on singing on television, dancing on television. I did it on the stage at several different places. Oh, no big deal. I'm not a famous star, obviously. But I'm a happy guy, and I enjoy myself, and I do all the things that make me happy. Now, if we don't encourage ourselves, then we're going to be discouraged. It doesn't matter what talent you have. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what your background is. It only matters, do you have the will to follow through on anything? Do you have the ability to encourage yourself to follow through on anything? It doesn't matter what it is. And be yourself and have fun. Enjoy it. Now, many of you, when I give you illustrations of people who are not following through on walking their spiritual path as they're guided to do it, you say, but they're having fun and they're being themselves. That is the appearance. That is the appearance. I ask you this question in all sincerity. What does the richest man in the universe look for? What does the poorest man in the universe look for? What does the healthiest man in the universe look for? What does the most unhealthy man in the universe look forward to? And on and on. Each looks forward to peace of mind. They want to be at peace with themselves. They want to like themselves. They want to enjoy themselves. They want to do what makes them have a happy time. Peace of mind is the most sought after commodity that exists in the world today. What about you? Do you have peace of mind? Do you have peace of mind now? Okay. When I talk about people and I point out where they're searching, and you say, well, they're having fun. I say, no, they're not having fun. They're not having fun because they're searching outside of themselves. Do you want the perfect job? Where do you find it? Do you want the perfect mate? Where do you find them? Do you want the perfect house? Where do you find it? Do you want the perfect life? Where do you find it? Inside yourself. You speak to yourself and you say, I now have my perfect job, my perfect mate, my perfect house, my perfect life, my perfect body, my perfect anything you want. And then all the world, all the universe vibrates to manifest that. And it's not really that big a deal because it already exists. And it's just like saying, would you like some ice cream? Sure. Where is it? Where is it? Well, visualize it. Come on now. You said I could have some ice cream. and you said you'd like it. Well, then visualize it. Well, that's not fair. If you say, well, I like some ice cream, then you should give it to me. Well, I did. I said, visualize it. So then you take all the practice that you've had, and you become still, close your eyes, and you say, I visualize ice cream. I visualize a bowl of ice cream. Or whatever you want to visualize. I visualize the ice cream. Now, can it come that way? You think, not too easy. I've tried that before, and it doesn't work too easily that way. Okay? Just like we have our friend in the Philippines, she says, I'd like to walk on water. I'd like to do all these nice things. I'd like to manifest and bring forth miracles and things like that, just because I'm walking my master path. And she says, you know, it doesn't work. It doesn't work whenever I'm speaking my word and I say, this is so and that's so. And then when I forget about it, it happens. Well, hey, you just learned the key. You just learned the key. Why did it happen? First, she put the cause in motion, and then she released it. Then it happened. It's not that she didn't put the cause in motion. She put the cause in motion for something, and then she forgot about it. Let it happen. Let the law do what it does to bring it about. Because whatever she wanted, or you want, or anyone wants, is already there. Complete, whole, perfect, just the way you want it. And you have to put the cause in motion that it's yours, and then release it. Well, I'd like to speak my word. World shake! Sylvia and I were sitting at the computer yesterday, and I said, the world is shaking. We're having an earthquake. She says, yes, we are. And she was sitting in her chair, more or less. But you see, the world shakes. Someone was speaking their word, weren't they? Someone was speaking their word and said, let the world shake to inform me that I'm doing things the right way. This is what a lot of people think. Now, what do you think? What do you think? Can you speak your word, and can you release it and let it happen? We have to encourage yourself, because sometimes you're holding on. You say, I want a new car. Then you think, oh, what kind should I have? Forget it, forget it. Your mind already knows what kind you want. Then you say, I wonder what dealer it'll come from. Don't forget it, forget it, forget it. And I wonder, you know, what color it'll be. I wonder what style. I wonder what model, make. And you see, every time you do that, you cut it off. You doubt. When you say, I now have my perfect car, and let it alone, go about your business. You put the cause in motion, let it alone. When the sperm and the egg get together, are you making it happen? You put the sperm and the egg together, but then nature carries it out. The law carries it out. So you put the cause in motion, and you let the law carry it out. There's nothing you can do to make it happen faster or better. Whatever you have in your consciousness as your perfect car is what you have. Why do you have anything different than your perfect car? Because you have accepted something different than your perfect car. So, here you have spoken your word. I now have my perfect car. And then, wow! Your dad drives up and he says, well, son, daughter, whichever you are, I've just brought you a new car. Gee, thanks, Dad. It's a Rolls Royce. Gee, thanks, Dad. I know you'd like a Rolls Royce. It's the most expensive car I could think of getting for you. Gee, thanks, Dad. And then you have no interest in a Rolls Royce. You wanted a Harley-Davidson motorcycle. You wanted a Mercedes 450 SL or whatever. But you don't say no. You just take that. But you do not drive it. You take that and you turn it in to the dealer and say, give me 6 Mercedes. And the dealer says, yes, sir. And what do you want with the change? You see, you don't want the Rolls Royce, but you want the Mercedes. But you do not say, the Rolls Royce is my car. The moment you say, it's my car because that's what I got. That's what came to me by the principle of the law. No, no. You have intelligence here. You take that Rolls Royce and you use it to move into the car you want. Or, that's a nice way of doing it. Another way of doing it, you speak your word, I now have my perfect car. And lo and behold, you're thinking of getting married. And you go to see your girlfriend or your boyfriend, and as you see them, they say, well, sweetheart, when we get married, my folks are going to give us a car. You say, wow, how nice. And so then you get married, and the folks give you a car exactly the one you had in your consciousness. And you got a wife, too. So, or a husband. But the thing, it's neat. It's neat when you let it go. Well, Herb, those are just things that you're thinking up in your mind. There are things that happen all the time. Could parents give their children a car as a wedding gift? Certainly. Could you have your father give you a Rolls Royce? Not my dad. or anybody else? Why not? Why not? It's no problem at all. Could we have Dodie come here and say, hey, I like your organization. I like your philosophy. Here's $285,000. Wow. Wow. Where'd she come from? Did we have a thought in our mind that we are buying the Oasis property and we needed $285,000 for it? Poof. How in the world could that ever happen? It is beyond imagination. It's beyond anything. You say, Herb, you're dreaming these things up. Nice dreaming, huh? Nice dreaming. When you put the cause in motion for whatever you wish, you bring about a wonderful result. Now, what cause are you putting in motion for yourself? What are you encouraging yourself to experience? Have you any idea of the wisdom you'd like to have? Have you any idea of walking the spiritual path in a very beautiful, perfect way? Have you any idea that you'd like to do that? Have you any idea what it is you'd like to do? If you call the monastery here an old folks home or a place where I don't have to pay for anything and I can just sort of play around and not pay attention to the program and I can just sort of be nice and make them feel that they want me here, you can do that. But you're missing the gift. The gift is so beautiful. The gift is your spiritual awareness. Now, we're not giving it to you, but we're giving you an opportunity to give it to yourself. We're giving you an opportunity to study, to work, to read, to know, to live, and to experience it. We're giving you that opportunity, but are you taking the opportunity? Do you take the time of introspection to introspect, or do you take the time of introspection just to sort of take a nap, or just to take a thought, nobody's watching now because they don't know what's going on inside me, so I'll just think about going fishing, you know, or some other silly thing, which is perfectly fine. But when you can take your time of introspection and introspect, listen to the divine within you reveal itself to you. Fantastic. If you can take your time of affirmation and affirmation, if you can take your study time and sincerely read your book. Ellen said to me this morning, she said, you know, we talk about these other books, but after reading Art and Science, Song of the Spirit, and Illuminations, she said, I cannot think of any three books that are more significant in the world today that would are so simple and yet so profound that lead anybody of any intellectualism or non-intellectualism to find their inner self? She said, that is really wonderful. She says, that is the greatest gift anyone could ever give to the world, is to share that with others. Now, what are you doing? What is your goal? What is your dream? See, it's all within. You read Illusions or Illumination, Illusions or Jonathan Livingston Seagull, you read those books by Richard Bach, and as you read those books, you think to yourself, wow, what a neat experience. Jonathan Livingston Seagull, yeah, I'm Jonathan. When Jonathan came out and was so popular, everybody was Jonathan. My moniker on the CB radio was Jonathan. And now a lot of young children are born, and their names are Jonathan. And it had not been so before the book came out. You see, we live in a wonderful world, a world of magic, a world of make-believe, and a world of reality. Are you ready for that world? Are you ready to encourage yourself along your spiritual path? Because if you don't encourage yourself, you're going to be discouraged. If you don't move yourself along the path, nobody else is going to do it. I can send people on errands, on beautiful, significant errands. And if they don't do it, I can say to you, okay, now let's all sit down and eat. We're a vegetarian here. And then I bring out a big T-bone steak and I sit there in front of you and eat the T-bone steak. And you say, that's not fair. You're eating Hey, who am I? You're your own teacher. I'm just here to give you a pain in the neck to see if you really want to follow your inner self. I do a lot of things. I might have six girls over here, or six boys, or six whatevers, you know. And you say, man, that is terrible. He's got his harem over there. And what would you think? Would you judge me? If you judge me, you're judging yourself. Because you create in your world every experience that you have. You create in your world a sharer who is an example to you, a role model to you. You don't create in your world a sharer who is bad, who is evil, who is not the type of sharer you want. You create a morally responsible being. You create a sexually responsible being. You create a mentally responsible being, a physically responsible being, because you create a spiritually responsible being. You know. Why am I reflecting your attitudes and your thinking and your way right now? Why am I reflecting these thoughts to you? Because you're thinking about them. And you're thinking, well, what is he trying to tell me? You listen to yourself and figure out what you're trying to tell yourself. Then you'll know what I'm trying to tell you. What I'm not trying to tell you, what I'm telling you is that I'm your reflection. And if you create me beautiful and fantastic and glorious, so it is. If you create me with any limitation of any kind, so it is. So, it behooves you to create me fantastic. Don't put me up on a pedestal, but let me run around and have fun. But create me fantastic, because that's you. That's who you are. You're fantastic. And the outer world, anywhere around you, is an exact replica of what you are. If the world around you is super, that's who you are. If the world around you is kind of tough, that's who you are. If the world around you is rotten down, that's who you are. And if it's up, that's who you are. So let's encourage ourselves to live in a world that is always up. And if we don't, we'll be discouraged. Let's encourage ourselves to live in a world that's always harmonious, beautiful, and beautiful, and beautiful, and beautiful, and beautiful, and beautiful, and beautiful. Or we will create discouragement for ourselves. The choice is yours. And I see you making it perfectly. I love you.
Love you.